राधा कुंज बिहारी की, श्री श्री गौर निताय की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, अंतराक्षी मद भागवतम की। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकरामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनायच नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः.
Reading from 1.8.39 Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Queen Kunti. This is the 22nd chapter. Beauty in Krishna's presence.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra yate danim gadadhara पदैर अंकिता भाति स्वलक्षण विलक्षितैः.
न अयम् इट बिकम्स नेयम् न अयम् सोभिष्यते तत्र. सोभिष्यते मीन्स ब्यूटिफाइड. Oh Gadadhara Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Just one verse before this, very similar verse. So I will, which I was speaking just a few days ago. This is the previous verse.
Kevayam nama rupa abhyam.
Kevayam nama rupa abhyam.
Yaduvi saha pandavaha.
Yaduvi saha pandavaha.
Bhavato darshanam jarhi.
Bhavato darshanam jarhi.
Rishikanam yiveshitu.
As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. So this is a similar verse what we are discussing today. O Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your lotus feet and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Isn't it very similar verse like the previous one? So the prayers of Queen Kunti are all spoken by this great devotee, Kunti, pure devotee, in her greatest ecstasy while seeing Krishna about to be going back to Dwaraka. He is about to leave Hastinapur. And Kunti Maharani's speeches, although she is after all a woman, she herself says, Katam pashye mahistriyaha. After all, I am just a woman. My dear Krishna, I am not like the Tata Paramahamsana, Munina, Mamalatmanam. I am not like some elevated sage, enlightened sage, introspective sage, those sages whose hearts are clean. I am after all an ordinary woman. She says, Katam Pashyama, how can I see you? She says earlier. So Prabhupada gave the title to this chapter, The Most Intelligent Woman. There. So, you will find amazingly in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, even women apparently who are considered just emotional, but even they are so philosophical in speaking out the truths about Krishna. The Kauravendra Purastrinam, the Kaurava women who were in the top of the ceiling, top of the terrace of the buildings, when Krishna was leaving Hastinapur, they were speaking amongst themselves. So, I will give that as a homework to all of you. You can go through those few verses, not many, there may be about 10-15 verses there. You read the translation. It is said Lord Krishna relished their speeches far more than the Vedic mantras. And what they are speaking there, if you see, it's very philosophical there, if you see. Amongst themselves, they're talking about Krishna and Balaram, Krishna and how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they are talking very shastrically also amongst themselves. So there it's called a Sanjalpa or Prajalpa, as we say. Even that Prajalpa is so Krishna conscious. You see? Isn't it? They are talking amongst one another. In Srila Prabhupada's times it was like that. When devotees would be talking with one another, it was all talk about either Krishna, talk about Prabhupada, talk about preaching, talking about book distribution, talking about japa. So there was not one moment that passed by without devotees talking something in relation to going back to Godhead, something in relation to Krishna. Here, in this prayer also, like the previous prayer, she is telling that the Hastinapur is marked by the lotus footprints of Krishna and it has become very divine and holy by Krishna's presence. But when he leaves, it will no longer be so. She is telling. And then Prabhupada is giving in the purport in the first part. There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of a flag, thunderbolt, and instrument used for driving an elephant, and also umbrella, lotus, disc, etc. are on the bottom of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked while Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunjadevi points out these distinguished features and is afraid of the ill luck in the absence of the Lord. So, where there is Krishna, there is good luck. Where there is no Krishna, there is only bad luck. So Kunti is thinking, how lucky we were that this personality was with us. And now that he is going back to Dwaraka, Hastinapur will be bereft of Krishna. So in the last class I was speaking on one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam where there's a word used called Isharikdam. Tadvaidanusta Ishavasarato Yahaste Soham Rati Ripatischa Yata Amananti. So this verse comes in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Arjuna says, how I was empowered by Krishna powerfully on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I cannot believe my own hands, how dexterous they became. That I took the Gandiva bow and I killed the warriors such as Bhishma Pitamaha and Drona and such people. But now, after the battle is over, Krishna has taken away this power from me. Now, it's like a man who had the ability to lift very heavy weights. Imagine if he got paralysis. You know, his hand cannot even lift a glass of water to drink. You know, he's trying to lift with two hands or somebody has to help him. Isn't it? So I have become like that. Arjuna said, Krishna gave the power and he has took it back. And why Krishna gave that power? To fight the battle of Kurukshetra, which is Dharma Yuddha. So Dharma Yuddha. Krishna gave the power, now he has taken back. So in that verse he says, when one becomes Isharikthaam, Isharikthaam means divide of the Lord. Isha means Lord. Riktha means without. Isharikthaam means without the Lord. Without the Lord, our life is like a body without soul. See, the body has senses which can do a lot of activity, but without the soul they cannot act, he says. Similarly, she is telling here, Kunti, that Krishna was walking on the sand of Hastinapur. Wherever he went, he put his foot impression. Now, what is so special about this foot lotus feet impression? When all of us walk on the road, our chappal impression comes on the ground. Surely, how is it going to be so special? Somebody is putting his impression on some place. So, the Shastras always speak such things which are so fine and so subtle. We had gone to, where was that place? North India, to one particular place, where one man was asking, one man was selling, so what brings your divine lotus feet to our house, to our place, he was asking. So me and two, three other devotees had gone. He was asking in Hindi, I don't remember exactly what he asked in Hindi, he was telling, what brings your divine lotus feet into our place, which is the ordinary house? Yes. So this is the way they speak the language. What do you say in Hindi for the same? Okay, Charan Kama. You began it very nicely. Huh? The beginning was good. Yes. Like that, he was somewhat similar to this. He was telling. So now you may ask, is it only my Charan Kamal came to your house? I did not come. Did I cut my feet and... Is it not true? I didn't cut my feet and send only my feet to your house. So, in the same manner, when the lotus feet means what? A person's presence brings about a positive change. That person's presence brings about a positive change. That's what is the effect of a person coming to a certain place. Is it not true? That brings about a change. People know very well when sadhus come to their homes, they know that some positive, change is going to come about in their house. Like in Pune, there was one 80 plus old man. He had two sons. So he used to call them as Ram Lakshman Judia. He used to call them like that, right from young age. Of course, they were given some other names, but He used to proudly tell everybody, my sons are like Ram Lakshman, And when they were small kids, they were like that. As they grew up, they got married and the wives came. And then after the problem started, then when he became 80 plus, he wanted to divide the property. So one son, it was like the younger son was very adamant. He said, I want the shopping malls, I want the, houses in city, and he told the other fellow, you take the school, you take the lands in village, and you take the goshala and other things which father has in the village, you take those things. So that fellow was fighting, why should you keep everything in city and I have to take things in village, you take that. And they both are fighting, and this fellow called me to his house and said, in the last 2 weeks my sleep is gone now, my two sons are fighting like cats and dogs. And their wives are also fighting. All day practically, day and night it's going on. We are not sleeping. So he was telling Swamiji kuch do shabda boliye. Kuch acha boliye. Hamare bachon ka samajh aaye. Do shabda kya bole? Hare Krishna. Is it not? That contains everything. Anyway, he called both the sons. He told me that don't tell them that I told you these things. But you can indirectly speak. Because if they know that I have told you, they'll become upset with me. Anyway, then I began from Ramayana. I spoke about Lord Ram and I spoke about Bharat. How there was a transcendental competition between Lord Ram and Bharat. Because Bharat wanted Lord Ram to become the king. Is it not? He went to forest and he was like determined to get Ram back, along with all Ayodhya Vasis. And Ram was determined to send him back, holding to his father's vow. He said, it's my order to you. Even though Bharat was willing to give up his life, Lord Ram said, giving up your life is no great. You should follow my instruction. You should go back. Then he took the paduka on his head, then went back and kept the paduka on the throne and he ruled. So I was telling this whole episode, Bharat Milap, elaborately I spoke. It was very moving for them to hear that. They were very, it touched them emotionally. There are a lot of details to that pastime. Bharat Milap, when you hear one full class, you can speak on that. Very amazing pastime. So at the end of the class, I asked them, just see these two brothers, how they are competing with each other. How are they competing? This is transcendental competition, isn't it? That you become the king, you become the king. They both are pushing. But in this material world, people don't do transcendental competition. What competition they do? Dental competition. Tooth-breaking competition. So people fight for kingdom. See, Aurangzeb, he killed his brothers. And he put his father in the prison. You know? This is the material world. Brother and brother, they fight like that for the father's property in this world. So with this, I concluded the class. After that, I told them that you introduced chanting Hare Krishna. And both the fellows began chanting. I went back. Later on, the father called up in a week and they said, it is now that your property is divided. They both were very happy. They were very peaceful. They were asking me whether I told you anything. How he spoke about two brothers. So, but he said, Swamiji, you were coming to my house, really, solved the matter in a few, just 1 hour, the whole problem was solved. After that, they felt ashamed. How we are fighting like this? So in that lecture, I was telling this point. When children are born in this world, they come like this, with both hands, tight like this. And when a man becomes old and he dies, they die like this. Leave everything. Again, next janam, like this they come. And then again, we're leaving, they leave. So what did we bring? What did we take? I said, so this point was the one which hit them the most. And the point about the two brothers having transcendental competition. So they were laughing at their own fight, he was telling. So I was very happy. So why I told you this point, if a sadhu goes to a place, he should be able to solve the discord and bring about cooperation or unity or bring about order, order, positivity. So that is why people call sadhus, because they know that sadhus are detached people, they are not attached to the material things of this world. They are supposed to be attached to Lord. When one is attached to Lord, then the things of this world, they don't matter so much, you see. And that brings positivity, high positivity. People cooperating with one another, people respecting one another, people loving one another, people having trust in each other. The whole religion or spirituality, it's based, one requires great faith and trust and surrender, is it not true? So naturally, when a saintly person comes to a house, everybody becomes very tender. You will see they put flowers to receive when Maharajas come. Is it not true? And then people also get into a seva bhav. They become spirited. People run here and there. They go to the kitchen, they cook, and everybody is serving. Please take more prasad. And everybody is folding palms. Everybody is bowing down. And they're respecting each other. They speak very polite words. You have seen that? In India, even in marriages, people do this because marriage also is a holy occasion. Because there is a glorification of God, there is yajna performed. Is it not? If those things are not God-centered, then even occasions like marriage can become like cat and rat. Sometimes a girl's father is asking the boy's father, "You promised you will give car, you have not given. Today the marriage will not happen." And the girl's father is crying, "Please kindly allow the Mangalsutra to come on her neck. Within 1 week I will give you the car. I am collecting some loan. I will give you. Please don't create a scene here." He says, and he very loudly speaks to everyone's hearing, "This marriage will not happen unless the car comes." You see? See why people become so this thing? Because sometimes the marriages are not God-centered, you see. When the marriages are self-centered, then it becomes a business deal, you see. dowry business, you know. But when marriages are God-centered and Krishna-centered, then everybody becomes tender with one another and respecting one another, bowing to one another. And the children are going and bowing to the elders are, you know, embracing them and smelling their head and giving ashirvad to them, and relatives are very happy meeting each other. In those days, marriages would be 3-4 days actually. Nowadays, the whole business gets over in 1 or 2 hours. And few people come. Most people don't turn up. So, what makes the marriage occasion or festival occasion or the sadhu's visit to your home holy is the Krishna's presence. A sadhu is special because he carries Krishna in his heart. If a sadhu is not carrying Krishna, or if he is not giving Krishna, then he is not a sadhu at all. Prabhupada says a sadhu is not just a moralist. A sadhu is not just a social reformer, you know, to eradicate poverty in society. That person is not a sadhu. In India, people have a notion that if somebody does some social service, they call them a sadhu. Like Mahatma Dubey, Mahatma Phule, isn't it? Mahatma Gandhi. Politicians and social workers are considered as sadhus. But there is a reason for that. Why people consider? Because the spiritual welfare is always accompanied by material welfare also. Like there is no program anywhere in any temples in India which is not accompanied by some giving of prasada. Like we used to go to the Balaji temple or any Vishnu temple. You attend a program, at the end you get some prasad. Some pongal, something you get like that. Similarly, every spiritual program is accompanied by concern for the well-being of others. That is also a very strong part of spiritual program. Nobody will say, you know, you are wearing a tattered clothes, you have no place to live, you have no food, and then you just hear class and go away. It is not like that. Because spiritual welfare is all-encompassing. So spiritual welfare is like the substance, and the material welfare is like a shadow which follows the substance. Like when you walk, when the body walks, the shadow also goes. You know, you don't have to make sure that the shadow also goes with the body. If you don't tell a person, Prabhuji, you are going there, please kindly take your shadow also with you. don't leave it behind. You don't say it goes. Similarly, material welfare automatically follows spiritual welfare. Is it not? But material welfare alone, if one is giving, that is incomplete. That is incomplete welfare, you see. That is why when sadhus are carrying Krishna in their hearts, whichever place they go, they bring positivity. If a sadhu carrying Krishna in his heart can bring so much positivity, you can imagine if Krishna himself is personally present, like in Hastinapur now. And his lotus footprints are present. That's why the gopis are singing about Krishna. Jayati te dikam janmana vraja shayata indira shashvadatrahi vayita drishyata Dikshutavakas Kayidritasavas Kambichimbati. They are saying Jayati te adhikam. Jayati means the glory of Vrindavan Dham has increased. They are saying, Jayati te adhikam, janmana vraja. Janmana means birth. Krishna, you have taken birth in Vrindavan. You have appeared in Vrindavan. So this land has become very fortunate and blessed and glorious. They are saying, Jayati te adhikam, janmana vraja. That is why vraja has become holy by your appearance, they are saying. And then they are saying, Shrayata indira shashvadatrahi. Lakshmi ji has come to put a tent in Vrindavan. Shashwat means for all time to come. She has come and made her residence in Vrindavan. Because you have appeared here, so she also has appeared. And she doesn't want to leave this place. Because wherever you are, Lakshmi likes to reside in such a place. Like you see, Lakshmi is at the feet of Lord, lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, always. And she seems to be very peacefully sitting and massaging the feet of Vishnu and or sometimes, you know, taking a jadu and sweeping in, even in Vaikuntha. Lakshmi is very happy, rendering service to Vishnu. But in the material world, she is not peaceful. She is jumping from one pocket to another pocket. Isn't it? Is she peacefully staying with anybody in this world? In this world, Lakshmi, she is called as Chanchala. She leaves, when a person dies, his money is left behind to his sons and daughters and all. And then they die, and they leave it to the next generation, you see. Or sometimes the money is stolen by the thieves and rogues, isn't it? Like somebody has no sons, then they die, then the government takes their property, is it not? It just keeps from going from person to person. Whereas in the spiritual platform, Lakshmi always resides where there is Krishna, where there is Vishnu. So that's why they are saying that even Lakshmi one. Actually, it is said Lakshmi Sampanna. It is said Lakshmi Sampanna means a person becomes endowed with all good qualities when the glance of the mother of universe, Lakshmi, falls on him. Just like the demigods and demons, you know, when they were doing the Samudra Manthan Leela, when they were churning the milk ocean, you know. It is said the demigods, they were all blessed by the divine glance of Lakshmi. So they became completely nourished. Just like sometimes you see a child, they advertise a Pharax baby or a Sedlax. Sedlax baby, you have seen that? It's very, very plumpy, you know. Like a Priyank Prabhu. So very happy and nourished. Because sometimes the child is very nourished by the mother, very nicely taken care by the mother, protected by the mother. It isn't the glance of the mother. You have seen a mother maybe in the kitchen, you know, running some mixing and making sound. Suddenly she hears the sound of the child. She looks from there, hey, what happened? Because the solar may pick up things and drop things and, you know, he may, you know, peep into a bucket and fall upside down into the bucket. So the mother is keeping a watch, you see. She doesn't let the child go here, go there, pick up the knife or things like that. So any child who is in mother's glance is very safe and protected. Is it not? Similarly, a devotee is also blessed and protected by Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi or Sita. Their mercy and protected and sheltered so that the devotee becomes offerable to Krishna. You see? In this way, the Lakshmi actually brings prosperity, samriddhi everywhere. But where did she get this ability? Because she belongs to the Supreme Lord. Where does Krishna? It is said, why Indra or Lakshmi came to Vrindavan? Because Krishna came, it is said. That means Krishna is actually the Shaktiman. And then comes Shakti. From Shaktiman comes Shakti. Like the sun is supposed to exist first, then only sunlight. Can there be existence of sunlight without sun? Have you ever seen anywhere? Only light is existing, no sun. You know? Yeah, sometimes you find nowadays in the star hotels and all, they put a bulb in a hidden way. So you see only the light coming out. But any intelligent person knows that there must be light inside, bulb inside. Otherwise how can light come? Here you see the bulb also, but sometimes they hide the bulb. You have seen that? And only the light is coming out. Similarly, sometimes on a cloudy day, the sunlight is seen, sun is not seen. That doesn't mean sun doesn't exist, you see. Similarly, Shakti comes from Shaktiman. That is why it is said, Jayatite adhikam janmana vraja shrayata indra shashvadatrahi. Because Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, Vrindavan land has become very fortunate. And then Indra also comes and resides, it is said. Shaktiman comes first, then Shakti comes from him. Similarly, here she is telling, O Gadadhar Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Because along with you, the beauty will be gone. So here, Prabhupada quotes a Chanakya Shloka.
पृथ्वी भूषणम राजा नारी नाम भूषणम पति शर्वारी भूषणम चंद्रो विद्या सर्वस्य भूषणम
से पृथ्वी भूषणम राजा फॉर द अर्थ व्हाट इज द डेकोरेशन राइचियस किंग इफ देयर इज अ राज ऋषि he is considered like the apple of the eye of the whole earth. Prabhupada is saying here, everything looks beautiful when one is intimately related with it. The sky, for example, becomes beautiful in relationship with the moon. What is the most prominent thing in the night you see in the sky? Yes, there are some stars, but the most prominent thing is moon. Similarly, he says, the sky is always present, but on the full moon night, when the moon and stars shine brilliantly, it looks very nice. Similarly, the state looks very well. If there is a good government with a good king or president, then everyone is happy and everything goes on well. Also, although girls are naturally beautiful, a girl looks especially beautiful when she has a husband. Vidya sarvasya bhushanam. But if a person, however ugly, is a learned scholar, that is his beauty. Similarly, everything will look beautiful when Krishna is present. Therefore, Kunti Devi thinks, as long as Krishna is with us, everything in our kingdom and our capital, Hastinapur, is beautiful. But when Krishna is absent, our kingdom will not be beautiful. She says, Krishna, you are now walking in our kingdom and the impressions of your footprints are making everything beautiful. There is sufficient water and fruit and everything looks beautiful. But when you leave us, it will not look beautiful. And then Prabhupada is saying here, it is not that this applied only when Krishna was present and Kunti was speaking. No. Rather, the truth is always the same. Despite the advancement of our civilization, if we cannot bring Krishna and Krishna consciousness into the center of everything, our civilization will never become beautiful. Those who have joined the Krishna consciousness movement were beautiful before they joined, but now they have become Krishna conscious, they look especially beautiful. Therefore, the newspapers often describe the devotees as bright-faced. Their countrymen remark, how joyful and beautiful these boys and girls have become. At the present time in America, many of the younger generation are confused and hopeless. And that is true for India also now. Indians are following in the footsteps of Americans. So like the MNCs are coming into India, along with their culture comes that follows like a shadow. So in India also you find nowadays the boys, girls, because of premixing, and because of people taking intoxicants and everything, gradually people are becoming disoriented in their life, confused in their life, bewildered in their life, and people are committing suicides. Therefore, they appear morose and black-faced. Why? Because they are missing the point. They have no aim in life. But the devotees, the Krishnaites, look very beautiful because of the presence of Krishna. Therefore, what was a fact 5,000 years ago during the time of Pandavas is still a fact now. With Krishna in the center, everything becomes beautiful. And Krishna can become the center at any time. Which means Prabhupada is saying, even we can make Krishna our center. Krishna is always present and we simply have to invite Him. My Lord, please come and be in the center. That's all. To give the same example I have given before, zero has no value, but if you bring the number one in place by the side of zero, it becomes 10. So one need not stop whatever one is doing. We never say stop everything material. One simply has to add Krishna. Of course, we have to give up anything which is against Krishna consciousness. It is not that because we do not stop material duties, we should not stop meat eating. We must stop it. For this is contrary to advancement in Krishna consciousness. One cannot commit sinful activities and at the same time advance in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna says, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Surrender to me and I shall rescue you from giving you liberation from all kinds of sinful reactions. And then Prabhupada is saying how whatever sins we have committed, Krishna will forgive, but We should not further and further commit sinful activities and become implicated. But we should follow what Krishna says, like the day says. So the highlight point here is, like he says in examples, like the moon is the prominent thing in the sky, which makes the sky very beautiful. Like when a woman is married, she wears a kumkum on her forehead. And a woman becomes very happy, safe, secure, protected, cared for when she has a husband. Especially when a girl comes to marriageable age, like 18, 19, 20, she feels extremely insecure. That is why in the Vedic times, they would get a girl married very quickly, without delaying much. Prabhupada says when his sister, I think it's Bhavatarini he's talking about, I think, when she was 12 years, her mother started crying. She started scolding her husband. "You have not married her yet? Just see, I feel I better jump into the Ganges and die. You know, it's getting delayed." So, of course, it's not that they would marry at a very early age and allow them to live together. They would marry at the age of like 8 or 9, and then girl would live with parents, and boy would live with his parents, because they both haven't achieved maturity, you see. And then the boy becomes 16 or 18 or whatever, and the girl becomes 13, 14 or something, when she attends puberty, and then the boy also has grown up, he's now having a job in hand or whatever, then they would be again brought together. See, Shastras are very, very intelligent, the Vedic injunctions. Because once a girl is married like that to a boy, and now she's living at home of the parents, she is constantly thinking about the boy in her mind. By meditating on him, on her husband, and wanting to serve him. Like, you know, sometimes the boy is brought to the girl's house once in 2 months, once in 3 months, or once in 5 months, or whatever. Occasionally he comes, and then she cooks for him. And by cooking for him, serving him, and occasionally seeing each other, you know, that respect is a lot. There is a lot of respect when you meet people occasionally. Ati parichayat avagnyat, it is said. Too much familiarity leads to contempt. Now, because occasionally she gets to see and render service to him, she sees him like a swami, representative of God. Can you imagine? And she hankers to get that opportunity to see. And then he also gets to see her. And then what happens eventually? And they become 16, 17, 18, whatever. Then they are allowed to stay together. And then they beget some, you know, 2, 3, 4 children. And then by the time they are 20, 22 or something, they already have 2, 3 children, you see. And then by the time they become 50, they can take retirement. So, in this way, the Vedic life is arranged that an insecure woman becomes secure in the presence of husband. And also she is protected. No other man can harm her. Is it not true? Similarly, he says, even ugly man like Ashtavakra was very ugly. But when people in Janaka Maharaja's palace laughed, because the way he would walk, moving his body in, twisted in 8 places. So people were laughing, and as soon as he came inside, Janaka Maharaj gave him his throne to sit. Then people became shocked. "My Lord, if the king is giving his throne to sit, he may not be an ordinary person." The very first thing he said, "My dear king, seems your people are not very learned, because they are seeing the external body. They are not seeing the Atma Tattvam, the soul. The soul is not having twist in 8 places. This bar, isn't it? Everybody's soul is similar in quality. You see, somebody may have a fat body, somebody may have a skinny body, somebody may have a tall body, somebody is having a short body, somebody is twisted in 8 places. So, externally a person may be having any kind of form, but the moment a person opens his mouth, then you will understand. Like sometimes our Chaitanya Charan Prabhu used to go to give a one-time program in a college. Sometimes people would look, this person, he has a problem in the leg and he is limping to go to the stage, and people would be looking up and down. What is this, God, why did God do this and this? And there's so many questions come in their mind. But then the moment he sits and opens his mouth, begins speaking, everybody will be clean bold, isn't it? After that, nobody considers the externals at all. Generally, our mind has a tendency to see the externals. He's a black Vaishnava, he's a fair Vaishnava. He's a plumpy Vaishnava, he's a skinny Vaishnava. He's a short Vaishnava, he's a tall Vaishnava. Isn't it? So we sometimes, it's called as Jati Buddhi, we call it. Externally we see it. But when a person is, you understand a person's standard by how he speaks. Prabhupada says, a fool is exposed when he opens his mouth, he says in the Bhagavad Gita. One of the commentaries he says, a rich man is known by his symptoms. How do you know? If a man comes to your house, you peep through the window and see in which car he came. Isn't it? If it is BMW, you can understand. Or if it is Maruti. Or if he came in Laluna, you can understand. Or by the type of dress he wears, by the type of food that he eats, by the type of people that surround him, isn't it? You can say a person's standard. Similarly, disease is known by its symptoms also. Somebody is coughing all the time. He's having some tuberculosis or something like that. Isn't it? Similarly, a man is known by his wisdom. If a man is having wisdom, educated, he is learned in the Shastra, not that he is simply a scholar, if he has to have wisdom. See, bookish knowledge is one thing, but wisdom is the realized knowledge. He should have realized knowledge. So a person with realized knowledge, that is his beauty, not the external body. Similarly, he says, when Krishna was present, there was beauty in the whole kingdom of Hastinapur. There is a beautiful song called the Andal Tirupavai. In the Andal Tirupavai, Andal is singing this beautiful poetry. I'll try to recollect. Neyunnom palunnom naatkale neeradi mayittezhudhom malarittu naamudiyom seyyadana seyyom thikural senrodhom ayyamum pichayum aamthanayum kai kaatti uyumarenrenni uvandelorempavai. What she is telling, Andal, she is in the mood of a gopi in Vrindavan. And she is calling all the gopis. Gopis, all of you come here. This is the Margashish month, which is very dear to Krishna. December month. So let us keep vrat of eating. They are saying that we will not drink milk. We will not decorate ourselves with kajal and eyes. We will not decorate our hair with the jasmine flowers, which we often decorate. The women decorate, you've seen in India, from one side to another side, they decorate like this, or sometimes hanging like this. So we will not decorate our hairs with flowers and all. Malaritta naam mudiyam, you know, we don't tie our hair and do jata, you know, they do like this, you know. They do like this, sometimes two or one or whatever. We will not put all that. And then why we are not doing all these things? Because we want to fast this month from all opulent foods and everything. And early morning we will rise and we will take a bath in the Yamuna. And then we will keep that Katayani vrat they keep to get Krishna as their husband. So we will keep vrata like this, she is saying. And we will not talk any fault-finding talks about others. Thikural Chandrodham. We will not find fault with anybody during this month. This 1 month, we will always see good in others. They are saying. And we will not do any wrong things. We will follow all principles, live a very pure life. And we will give charity for Krishna's service. And also to the poor and the sick and the needy. For everybody. We will give. So they are saying, in this way, we will spend all our time thinking about Krishna and remembering Krishna and worshipping Him. Like that they are saying. So in this verse they are talking about how to worship Krishna with a one-pointed attention. The next verse they are saying, the result of that. What is the result of doing such a fixed, like all of you are rising in the morning. You are all doing what gopis are saying. Some days you are fasting and some days you are feasting, isn't it? Like Ekadashi day you fast from grains. and festival days you feast, isn't it? So they are also saying, gopis, you know what they are saying? Now we will fast, but after achieving full shelter of Krishna, what they will do? They are saying, we will make khichdi with yellowish transparent ghee. And we will eat, we will put so much ghee in preparing the khichdi. They are saying it should actually, you know, flow like this when you are eating from the hand and up to the elbow joint, it will flow. Like that we will eat, they are saying. There is no compromise. Yeah. See, within the frontiers of Krishna consciousness, there is a lot of sense gratification also. There is nobody can deny that. It's a permitted sense gratification. So, first we will fast, then we will feast. And then they are saying, this coming in the next para, they are saying, Ongi yola halanda uttaman per padi nankal nampa vaik. No, not this. Satani radina tingindinadellam tingal mummari peid ong perum zennal udkayalu hala. They are saying, I think the next one is this one. Parivanda kan padupa. You know that? Tingadepu kirindu setamulai patri. That also, the Ayumade kanda also. So the one more para, okay, I'll tell you the meaning, what they are saying. What she is saying, and she is telling, my dear Krishna, who is of the color of a fresh monsoon cloud, by worshipping you, what will happen to our kingdom, to our land? She is telling, that the rains would pour exactly at times. Tingal mum mari peidu means 3 times a month it pays, rains come, isn't it? At appropriate seasons it comes, rainy season. And then the rains, not only the rains would come, the fields would become filled with water and the crops would grow beyond our head size. Can you imagine? If you are this much height, the crops would grow beyond your head. You have to see the grains like this, you have to see. And the grains would be stout. Stout grains will be growing in all the fields. You get those crops and you beat them on the ground, you will get nice grains. Like that. And in those waters, the fishes very happily sail through. And also the bumblebees will be coming and sitting in blooming flowers, which are filled with, laden with honey. They'll be coming and sitting also. And the cows will become big donors who give out a lot of charity to the poor and needy people. They give annadan for 10,000 people, sometimes people do. Like that the cows are having their udders filled with milk. And they give liberally without taking any money. See, the beauty in the material world is, in Krishna's creation, there are many, many personalities who liberally give things for which they don't charge anything. Like a tree gives tree bark, it gives honey, it gives fruits and flowers, it gives shade. How much money it takes from you? It takes anything from you? A fruit seller may take money from you, but the tree doesn't take that money. Correct? Does he go and give the money to tree? Tree, I took the fruit from you, I sold it, now you take it? It doesn't take anything, you see? Similarly, the cows give milk, you see, but they don't take any money at all, you see. And the horses are used for driving horse carriages, like that. That is why we have a debt towards these creatures, you see. The Shastras are so sensitive. We have debt towards trees, and debt towards cows and horses and donkeys that lift the weight, camels, dogs that protect the house. So we have debt. Yeah, and how do we fulfill the debt? By nourishing them, by taking care of them. Like you are placing a tree by the side of the road, don't cut down the tree, don't kill it because it is giving so much. And there is a living entity inside the tree's body. So you serve them, nourish them. So, in this way they are saying that the cows will become like charitable donors, giving an unlimited supply of milk. And then everywhere there is lushy green fields. And all the cows running hither and thither with a smile on their face. And in this way they are saying that Krishna, by your presence, everything will flourish. Like here also she is telling, you see. when Krishna's footprints are there. And you will see, when Krishna was leaving Hastinapur like this at this point of time, even the Kauravendra Purastrina means even Gandhari and Draupadi and Subhadra, these are prominent ladies. But there were many other wives of the Kauravas also, who had great respect and love for Krishna. They were also devotees. They all went to the top of the terrace of the palace. From there they were showering flowers and watching from there and talking amongst themselves. Similarly, the other men like Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjuna and everybody came, Pandavas and many other warriors and soldiers and men and the people in general, everybody, there was a huge crowd when Krishna was about to come out of the palace and board his chariot. It is said there were many people who are about to cry because Krishna was with them all this time and now he's leaving. So they control the tears. And you can see the thick love that the Pandavas felt for Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj was going with Krishna for many kilometers ahead. And Krishna had to tell him, it's all right, please go back. He's going up to the frontiers. So much of love. So you can see, because Krishna was there, everybody's heart became very tender. Everybody's heart is filled with spiritual emotion. That's a beautiful verse there. Satsangan mukta dusango hatum notsahate buddha kirtyamanam yashoyasya sakrit akarnya rochanam tasminyastadhiya partha saheran viraham katham darshanasparshasam lapa shayanasana bhojanaihi. This verse says the Pandavas were so intimate devotees of Krishna. They were having darshan of Krishna every day. Samsparsha means they were touching Krishna's body. They were playing with Krishna. They were sitting in the same bench with Krishna. They were eating with Krishna. They joked at Krishna. They were doing this kind of thing. They were like intimate friends of Krishna. They lived like that. Every now and then they got to see him so easily. He would come and they would go, and they were close allies with Yadus, Yadu dynasty, especially headed by Krishna. So in this way they have lived and developed a very strong loving bond with Krishna. Now that he is going away, how can they tolerate? And for this, Shukadeva Goswami is giving an example. He says, Sakrit Akarnya Rochanam, even once a person has heard about Krishna, immediately attraction awakens in his heart. Like all of you heard little bit about Krishna in your device course. And then you couldn't, little bit of spirituality is there. That led you to further attraction, to attend further classes. Then you heard little more. As the time proceeds, if you are sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, then your attraction will, increase deeply, it will go to infinity. You will develop infinite attraction. That's the nature of Krishna's subject. Sakrit means only once. Sakrit Akarnya Rochanam. It's like love at first sight, you say, no? Sometimes a boy looks at a girl, immediately is clean bolt. Isn't it? And then he thinks, maybe she's made for me only. People say, made for each other. Of course, some people say like that and fall in love, and after marriage they fight like cat and rat. After marriage. But love at first sight means what? You don't know even the name of the person. You don't know even the person, about the person's characteristics and anything. Sometimes you develop such kind of attraction for somebody. Some person, simply by looking at a person like that. Similarly, Krishna's subject is such that if somebody went to a lecture for the first time, they heard a kirtan about Krishna, they heard a lecture about Krishna, they heard about Krishna's dealing with Sudama Brahmana, they hear about Krishna's dealing with Arjuna, Krishna's dealing with the gopis, and they hear Krishna's nature, Krishna's sweetness, they fall in love, even once. Sakrita Akaranya Rochanam. Tasmin Nyastadhiya Partha. Nyastadhiya means Pandavas whose intelligence is completely fixed on Krishna. See, there is a difference between making Krishna the center of your life or including Krishna also as one aspect of your life. There is a big difference between the two. Making Krishna the center of your life means what? Everything you do, you make Krishna your partner in that. Like for example, morning, you are taking bath, you are singing Krishna's names. You are having 24 hours a day, you give a couple of hours to chant Krishna's names. Isn't it? You are eating food, you first give to Krishna and then only eat the food. You are embarking on a profession, you are earning some salary, then you give a portion of your money to Krishna's service. You are making a new house, bungalow or a flat you are constructing, then keep on room for Krishna. You know, not some, you know, some place below the staircase, you know, because you have nothing else to do there. You make one triangular portion and fit Krishna inside. Not like that. Keep one hall, just like here you have given the main hall to Krishna, the drawing room, the most prominent hall of the house, you see. You don't keep him in some hiding inside. Let everyone come and see and take blessings from Krishna. So in this way, and also you don't accept something if Krishna doesn't like it. Krishna says, don't eat meat. You don't eat meat. And if Krishna likes something, you are willing to do it, no matter how difficult it may be for you to do. Like Krishna likes to see you chanting Hare Krishna, so you chant. In this way, this is the meaning of making Krishna the center of our life. Like Prabhupada started ISKCON by keeping Krishna at the center of our lives. That is how Prabhupada has made our life, you see. Even in your college, you may think of devotion service. That much devotion service enters your intelligence, you see. So the Pandavas, they are constantly remembering Krishna at every moment. Like you see, Draupadi was approached by Yudhishthira Maharaj in the forest, in the jungle, when he said, Durvasa Muni has come with so many disciples. What to do? Then she said, Akshayapatra is already washed and dried and kept upside down. Now there is no food to be given. Then she asked, what can we do? We will learn the wrath of the great sage. And then immediately Draupadi said, why should we fear? We always have Krishna with us. She just, with folded palms, very fervently she prayed. And immediately Krishna appeared there. You see, the next moment, see Krishna hears the prayer of his devotee and immediately is there. Krishna never says anywhere in scriptures that my devotees will not have problems. In fact, devotees only seem to be having a lot of problems. Like Pandavas and others. But Krishna assures one thing. My devotees will have problems, but if they pray to me, I will always be by their side to solve their problems. Like Arjuna had a problem, immediately Krishna was there, riding his chariot. Come on, you have a problem, I am here in the battle with you. I will guide you what to do. Only thing is, you should do what I am telling you to do. Don't do something what your mind tells you. You have to do that, yeah. And Pandavas had a problem in the jungle. Immediately, Krishna appeared there and solved their tough prasadam problem. Isn't it? For 10,000 fellows. That suddenly big number of guests are coming and you are unable to provide prasad. So, in this way, you will find whenever Pandavas, like Parikshit, was about to be killed by Brahmastra, sent by whom? Ashwatthama. And immediately Krishna was there, you see. Problems come in devotees' lives, but Krishna is immediately there. Uttara prayed and immediately Krishna came. And Draupadi was about to be disrobed in the public. And immediately she prayed and Krishna supplied unlimited sari. So Krishna says, when my devotees depend on me, I am available for them immediately. So in this way, Krishna tasmin nyastadiya partha. Nyastadiya means Pandavas have seen time and time again Krishna's influence in their lives. Right from the time when they were fatherless children, you know, in the forest, and they were brought to the Hastinapur capital, and they were living under the custody of Dhritarashtra, who was not very trustworthy. He was very attached to his son Duryodhana, and he was always plotting and to disturb the Pandava children. Can you imagine if a child is fatherless and he is under the custody of somebody who can anytime kill him? You see, when Bhima was fed poison, they were sent to Varnavat Lakshagriha. In every moment they saw Krishna's help, you know? And because of this Krishna entered their hearts, you know? You can imagine how much Parikshit must have loved Krishna, who protected him at the time of his birth. He was almost dead. So this Pandava family is very dear to Krishna, and they have seen Krishna's and then Prabhupada is saying here about how the Hare Krishna devotees are called bright faced. Everybody appreciates. It's very true. Like Prabhupada says in Krishna book, that American boys and girls, their original beauty became hidden because of long beard and long hair, matted hair, and you know, wearing stinking jackets and drinking stinking things, all kinds of liquor, drugs and everything. So their lives have become properly Dharavesh. Dharavesh means a person with a dirty beard who doesn't take bath for weeks together. So they looked very ugly, very very ugly, and their beauty had become covered over. When they became Krishna conscious devotees, Prabhupada told them, clean shave, clean shaved mustache, clean shaved head, and kept nice shikha, and wore clean dress every day, new dress, fresh dress every day. Even if you pass stool, you take a bath, isn't it? If you pass urine, you wash your legs, hand, everything with soap. Yeah, you become very clean. Devotee means very clean. You know, like students, you see, they sleep with their shoes on in the night, sometimes. Because they are not taught the culture, you see. It's very important. So, Prabhupada says with the devotees, when they clean shaved, wearing tilak, with neck beads, carrying bead bag, wearing clean dress, when they came in front of Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, they look like as if they have descended from Vaikuntha, he said. They are really bright-faced. And how the devotees become bright-faced? Because they also eat only sattvic ahar. When devotees eat sattvic ahar, and adding to that, when sattvic ahar is offered to Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. Then they have a spiritual glow in their eyes. They have spiritual glow on their face also, devotees. And they eat sattvic ahar. They eat items made with, pure substances like milk and ghee and such kind of things. And if somebody is eating, chicken and goat, their body also will smell like goat. Especially when their body is sweating. You can see, actually, if you read Patanjali's Yoga Sutra and the Raja Yoga and all, when you read, they say a person's guna, if you are sattva guna, raja guna, tamo guna, these things can be studied. The sweat is smelling like goat's body. Smelling, that means a person is eating meat, drinking wine and all these things. Yeah, if you are eating sattvic ahar, even those substances which come out of your body will not be so much stinking. And there are different symptoms of the gunas which are given. So when one becomes a devotee, one's life completely changes. There's a total change because of Krishna entering into their heart, gradually more and more. So she is now lamenting that if she go away, it will be a big loss. So Prabhupada is saying, we can make our lives Krishna conscious even now. And then later on, when we see everything as nothing, but have only Krishna consciousness, we shall have attained the highest perfection. Therefore the gopis are so exalted. Having attained this perfection, they could not forget Krishna even for a single moment. When Krishna went to the forest with his cows and calves, the minds of the gopis at home were disturbed. Oh, Krishna is walking barefoot, they thought. There are so many stones and nails on the path, and they must be pricking Krishna's lotus feet. Like that, they are thinking. And then Prabhupada is saying further, Krishna cannot be absent from a devotee when the devotee is intensely absorbed in Krishna thought. Here Kunti Devi is very much anxious, thinking that Krishna will be absent. But the actual effect of Krishna's physical absence is that a devotee becomes more intensely, and Krishna becomes more intensely present within the mind of the devotee. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the example of his actual life, taught Vipralamba Seva, service of Krishna and separation. Tears would come from his eyes like torrents of rain, for he would feel everything to be vacant for want of Krishna. There are two stages of meeting Krishna. One is called Sambhoga, personally present with Krishna, meeting him, talking with him, personally embracing him, that is Sambhoga. But there is another way to be with Krishna, in separation from him, and that is called Vipralamba. A devotee can benefit from Krishna's association in both ways. Because we are now in the material world, we do not see Krishna directly. Nonetheless, we can see him indirectly. For example, if one sees the Pacific Ocean, one can remember Krishna immediately. If one is advanced in spiritual life, this is called meditation. One may think the Pacific Ocean is such a vast mass of water with many large waves, but although I am standing only a few yards from it, I am confident that I am safe. However powerful this ocean may be, and however fearful its waves, I am sure that it will not go beyond its limits. How is this happening? By the order of Krishna. Krishna orders, "My dear Pacific Ocean, you may be very big and powerful, but you cannot come beyond this line." In this way, one can immediately remember Krishna or God, who is so powerful that even the Pacific Ocean abides by his order. In this way, one can think of Krishna, and that is Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when one sees the sunrise, one can immediately remember Krishna. Why? Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo," I am the shining of the sun and the moon. If one has learned how to see Krishna, one can see him in the sunshine. Our scientists have not created the sun, and although they may juggle words, it is beyond their ability to know what the sun actually is. And then Prabhupada is quoting that. Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha tejaha yasyajnaya brahmati sambratakala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This verse describes the sun as the eye of all the planets. And if one meditates upon this, one can understand that this is a fact. For at night, before the sun rises, one cannot see. The sun is also described as the eye of the Lord. The sun is one of his eyes, and the moon is other. Like that he is saying. The scientists say that if the sun were to move a little to one side, the whole universe would be ablaze. And if it is moved to the other side, the whole universe would freeze. But by the order of the Supreme, it does not move even 1/10,000th of an inch from where it should be. It always rises exactly at the correct time. Why? There must be some discipline, some obedience, some order. The Brahma Samhita therefore says, Yasya Agnyaya. Yasya Agnyaya means by whose Agnya. Like that. I worship that Supreme Original Person, Krishna, by whose order the sun moves in its orbit. So where is the difficulty in understanding God? There is no difficulty. If one is actually sane, if one has a brain that is not made of stool, one can understand God at every step. Because Lord says, Rasoham apsukaunteya prabhasmi shishishoryayo pranavas sarva vedeshu shabdakke paurusham drishu. Arjuna, I am the taste of water, light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound and ether and ability in man. Why then do people say, I have not seen God? Why don't they see God as God directs them to see him? Why do they manufacture their own way? One cannot see God by one's own way. That's not possible. If one tries to do so, one will always remain blind. At the present moment, there are so-called philosophers and scientists are trying to see God in their own way, but that's not possible. One has to see God by God's way. Then one can see him. I want to see the President of the United States. Can I see him in my own way? If not, then how can I expect to see God in my own way? Is it not rascaldom? I cannot see even an ordinary man in an important position in my own way. I have to make an appointment with his secretary, and the secretary is a spiritual master, who takes us to Krishna. And make the other appropriate arrangements, which is, practicing chanting and following religious principles and all that. But although God is so much greater than ordinary men, rascals support the view that one can see God in one's own way. As many ways as you invent, they say. They are all bona fide. Yathomad, tathopad, they say. You take ticket from, you take ticket to Kolkata, you can go to Chennai, they say. Like that. You take ticket and sit in any train and you will go to the place where you want to go. That's what they say. And this is rascaldom. The world is full of rascals and fools. Therefore, God consciousness, Krishna consciousness has become a vague idea. Otherwise, if one wants to see God, if one wants Him to be always present, as Kunti Devi is requesting that He be, one can keep God always within one's heart. We simply have to apply our mind and senses in Krishna consciousness, like Maharaj Ambarish is saying. So this is the last part. So, what I have been reading out now, what is the summary of that? So first Prabhupada said about the feeling of separation, that is called Vipralamba. And Sambhoga means being with Krishna. So Pandavas were with Krishna, Kunti also was with Krishna. So we may say that, you know, she is able to understand Krishna's value so much. But you know, now we are in material world, Krishna is in spiritual world, and we don't get to see Him, we don't feel His presence, we may say. That's why then Vipralamba is elaborately explained by Prabhupada. In Vipralamba, how to see Krishna. So the beginning stage is in 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. All of you repeat this. Rasohamapsu Kaunteya
Rasohamapsu Kaunteya
Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho
Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho
Pranabas Sarva Vedeshu
Pranabas Sarva Vedeshu
Shabdakhe Paurusham Drushu
Shabdakhe Paurusham Drushu
Punyo Gandah Prithivyamscha
Punyo Gandah Prithivyamscha
Tejaschasmi Vibhavasau
Jivanam
Sarvabhuteshu Tapaschasmi
Tapasvishu
Bijam Mam
Sarvabhutanam
Vidhiparta
Sanatanam
Buddhir Buddhimatamasmi Tejas Tejasvinamaham Like this, Krishna goes on saying many verses in the 7th chapter. He's saying, I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun, I am the light of the moon, I am the life of all that lives, I am the intelligence of the intelligent, I am Balam Balavatam Chaham, also says,
Balam Balavatam Chaham,
Kama Raga Vivarjitam,
Dharma
Viruddho Bhuteshu. Kamosmi Bharata Rishabha. I am the strength of the strong, he says. I am the prowess of the powerful. Like that he is saying. So, these are the ways by which you can see Krishna. Like in your class, there is a very intelligent boy, you know, who is cracking the first rank every time. You can see that, you know, Krishna has given this fellow brain. Otherwise, how he is able to? Like, how did Einstein get his brain? Einstein didn't make his own brain. Krishna has given him. So in this way, by looking at the nature around, we can begin to understand the hand of Krishna. That's a step, very first step. Like we are very thirsty, we drink water. Pure water is creation of Krishna, not creation of scientist. No scientist can create pure water. None of the pure things originally created by Krishna can be imitated by scientists. Like the pure air, pure water, all these things. He says, Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam. I am the original seed of all existence. Which means, like, you know, you sow one seed, it gives another plant, and then you sow seeds from that, like one mango tree, you see. And then you sow the mango seeds, you get more mango trees. Millions of mangoes you can make. But who gave the first mango seed? Krishna gave, he says. Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam. Sarva Bhutanam means all 8.4 million species of life. I am the one who gave it. So, in this way, one can begin to study the world around us, how miraculous this world is, how amazing this world is, you see, how mysterious this world is. Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang a song, O Keshava, Tuya Jagata Vichitra. He said, oh my dear Lord Keshava, your world is so amazing. William Wordsworth wrote a poem called Daffodils. He saw the daffodils flowers and he wrote a poem. So, if you want to become God conscious, you have to first of all wonder the creation of God, which has created. That's the beginning step actually. Like you see how wonderful interdependence is created by Krishna. You know, cows depend on us for maintenance and we depend on them for milk. The plants and trees, they depend on us for carbon dioxide and we depend on them for oxygen. You see, there is a symbiotic mutual dependence created. And in this way, the whole world is created. Devan bhavetan enate deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayanta. The devatas depend on the jivas for yajna, from where they get the havishanna to eat, the yajna prasad. And we depend on the devatas for rains and sunlight and moonlight and everything. So in this way, Krishna has sent all the living beings, creating interdependence amongst them. And if they would keep him in the center, worship him and glorify him and live according to his injunctions, then they would become happy even in this world. Like you may ask, you know, why Krishna is so anxious that people worship him and, you know, follow him? Why is he so much egotist? You know, he can just leave us to enjoy ourselves. It's like your father expecting you to follow, his guidance. Like he has sent you here to study. He's sending you monthly some money, isn't it? You are not earning any money. You are getting money from your father. Is it wrong for him to expect that my son shouldn't become a drunkard? My son shouldn't just while away his time while studying in AIT. You know, he's going to movie, he's going to party, he's roaming with girlfriends and bike. You know, he's drinking, he's smoking, he's getting first year he's washed out. And in the second year again he's getting in the ATKT or year down. Your father says, but what is this? And I'm sending you money, you are wasting all your time. You know, you are asking for more and more money. I don't mind, instead of 5,000 I can give you 50,000 also monthly if you want, provided you do the work, you study properly, get a good score, and get a good job, get settled in life peacefully, nicely. So, in the same way Krishna expects, Hare, I have sent you to material world to reform yourself and purify your heart and come back to me and be happy eternally. He wants to see us happy. He doesn't want us to see us suffering. And the foolish living entities are taking off away and, you know, complicating their lives. So that's why in the beginning step we see the nature around us, as Prabhupada explains. And then Prabhupada stresses on another point. Don't try to see God in your own way. Try to see God in God's way. As he teaches in scriptures how to see him. Begin with that. And then gradually what will happen? You will see there is a Virat Purusha of whom the sun and moon are his eyes. So with the sun he is nourishing our body. With the moon he is giving the fruit juices. And as Paramatma, he has a spiritual eye, spiritual body. Paramatma is spiritual. With that he is escorting the spirit soul from one body to another. In this way then we understand Virat Purusha. Ekatvena pratyaktvena bahudha vishvato mukam, he says. First one and comes to the Brahman understanding, ekatvena, after beyond this Virat Purusha. Ekatvena pratyaktvena bahudha vishvato mukam. Actually, ekatvena means Brahman understanding, or understanding all demigods to be expansions of Krishna. And then one comes to understanding of Brahma, understanding of the Virat Purusha, who is a personality, material form of God, one understands. And then you come to the spiritual form of Krishna understanding, which is much more beyond that. He resides in the spiritual world in that form. And in that also there is Aishwarya and Madhurya. Aishwarya means first you worship Vishnu in reverence, and then you understand the sweetness of Krishna, Madhurya. And then in the Madhuri understanding, one goes to spiritual world, Dasaras and Sakiras and Madhuriras and all that, deeper understanding of Krishna. So those Prabhupada in his books has gone to the deepest depths of the philosophy, beginning from very basic aspects of philosophy. He talks according to the level of people. So we have the guidance of Prabhupada so wonderfully given by Prabhupada. You see, we are so fortunate. So actually when I read Prabhupada's books, I understood, you know, God is so easily accessible. He is not some very far away concept. Actually, God was a very, very far away concept for us before coming to this moment. Now, as you read Prabhupada's books, Krishna can be seen so easily. Like Prabhupada was in Golden Gate Park in New York. You know, when one morning he said, take me for a morning walk. When disciples showed Prabhupada, as soon as he came out, he saw a lot of white pebbles everywhere. And Prabhupada said, just see hundreds and thousands of white pebbles everywhere. This is like the hundreds and thousands of living entities wandering in the world. You know, he's a, Jiva is called Sarvagata. Everywhere he is wandering here and there, millions of souls in this world. Similarly, Prabhupada saw the setting sun, a rising sun. He would say, just see how beautiful artist Krishna is. How, what a beautiful sun he has created. And see this beautiful colorful flowers. They are all painted by Krishna. Oh, really, Prabhupada? Does Krishna come every morning sitting on one petal he is painting? You know? Pandivati asked. Prabhupada said, don't expect God to come with a chisel and hammer to create the universe. Talk, talk, talk. It's an, okay, now earth is ready now. Talk, talk, and sun is ready. He doesn't have to create like that. Just like even you have a button. You press a button in a computer, command got, command come. You give a command file. Immediately this wire is passed to another room where there's a huge printer kept. Making sound, isn't it? It's printing. You've seen? If you can print out 1,000 pages by pressing one button, do you expect Krishna to be, you know, coming and, you know, typing one page, one letter? Krishna, his energies are very subtle. Parasa Shaktir Videvashvete, being in the spiritual world, you know, he expands as Vishnu and then he glances at nature and immediately nature gets into action. All his shaktis, Ichcha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, everything gets into action. It has everything. So Prabhupada taught us how to see Krishna, how to see Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. Behind this creation there is Krishna's hand. This huge cosmic machine is run by Krishna. Just as any small machine is run by a human being. We press a button and it prints out. Similarly, Krishna presses his button and the whole material nature creates everything wonderfully. Prabhupada gave us the eyes to see. So, in this way, behind nature there is Krishna. And if we don't obey Krishna, then Krishna will lock up all the natural resources. And here one example Prabhupada gives of Pacific Ocean. Now, some of you may ask, Prabhuji, what happened to tsunami? Prabhupada says, the ocean doesn't cross beyond the brink. But then why did tsunami come beyond its brink and it attacked so many people and lakhs of people died in Lanka and later on in Japan also? Who has answered to that question? We say the ocean doesn't go beyond brink, but here is an example of ocean going beyond brink. Anybody? And who can explain it? Yeah?
Because the people are not following his rules.
Yeah, people are not following the rules, okay?
Prabhupada says that God says to the Pacific Ocean, don't go beyond this limit. So that's why you don't go beyond this limit.
Yes.
Then God says the tsunami should come.
Then. Yeah. Brilliant answer, eh? They both told the correct answer. See, it is ultimately God is who is the lawmaker and he can change the law if need be. Is it not true? Like God has made the law that, you know, the ocean should not swell beyond its brink. But Lord is watching that the people are mishandling material nature. Isn't it? You see, there are different forms of Durga. There is one form of Durga sitting next to Shiva very peacefully, you know, nicely and asking very nice spiritual questions to Shiva. And Shiva is answering also. She asks questions and she is Parvati. She is called Parvati. She is a mode of goodness. Even Durgas are in three forms. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Three forms are there also. That is, different names are also mentioned for Parvati. Those in the goodness type of form, Parvati, they are very sattvic. They are asking spiritual inquiry. And Shiva answers. And then in this way she is... And who is that Shiva? He is a Parama Vaishnava. That Mahabhagavat Vaishnava, Vaishnava Nata Shambhu. He is explaining to Parvati that they are talking. But the same Parvati, when she sees that the living entities are exploiting material nature for their sense gratification, never turning to God and going against God, she becomes Bhadrakali. I have seen Bhadrakali, the bluish form. Isn't it? She has a bluish form with a trunk protruding outside. She is having 10 hands. And she is sometimes dancing on the chest of Shiva. Huh? She was lying on the ground, saying, Devi, Devi, please, Shanti, Shanti. Huh? You become peaceful. What happened to you? Huh? She's doing dun, da, 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 dun, da, da. Taking the trishul in her hands. Huh? She is getting wild. She's saying, Shiva, you move aside. I will destroy all these living entities with threefold miseries. Huh? These rascals, not only they have left the spiritual world and come here, and here also they are doing more nonsense here. It's like, imagine you put a thief in a jail because he's a pickpocketer, and he's pickpocketing from thieves only. Can you imagine? How amazing it is, isn't it? Isn't it? Or he's taking a knife and stabbing another thief, and one fellow died inside the jail. Huh? Then you have to put him in even more deeper confinement, you see. So Durga becomes really wild. She, that is why the last large wars, you know, like World War I, World War II, these are all wars that are conducted by Durga Devi only. Huge mass killing, because the people who are killing, mass killing of cows, for that Durga Devi punishes them like this strongly, you see. Like this, tsunami also is like that. It's all due to environmental disorder. That's a technical name. Scientists are saying. And who offset the environment? That's the jivas. Because of that, the material nature is giving them a slap back like this. And Krishna is the one who is telling her, give these fellows a slap, then only they wake up. That was a good point. Thank you. I have to rush back to temple. There is His Holiness Ramakrishna Swami Maharaj. He's giving Bhagavatam. I have to go back for his class. Here is a quick question. Yesterday and day before I attended classes of His Holiness Ramakrishna Swami Maharaj, his behavior was very, very open. And I am falsely thinking that his behavior is contrary to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. How should I take this correctly? Very simple. All five fingers are not alike. One is a stout finger, one is a thin finger. If you ask thin finger, why are you so thin? Why are you not like this? Similarly, every jiva is different and unique. Like Prabhupada was a very strong preacher, you see. All rascals and fools. Try to see God in God's way, not in your way. Now, actually, these things we can understand now, because now we have developed some respect and love for Prabhupada, so we can understand. But the new people may think, hey, this Swamiji is too heavy. They may think like that. And Radhanath Swami is maybe very, very soft. He is very, very polite and, you know, very sensitive to people. That is his nature. But one thing you will see, although Prabhupada was so strong, he produced people like Radhanath Swami also. Isn't that? Radhanath Swami says, I saw many gurus. I have never seen such a pure person like Prabhupada. Such a straightforward, you know, who speaks the truth purely. Although he may tell it little strongly. He is very straightforward. He never cheats us. So Maharaj Radhanath Swami says he took shelter of Prabhupada because he never cheated us. He always spoke the truth. So Prabhupada has both types of disciples. Some disciples of Prabhupada are humorous. Some are very soft. Some are very hard-hitting. See Jayadev Swami, Bhaktivikas Swami. Isn't it? So don't try to compare the different personalities. You will get frustrated by that. Or you will lose respect for some. You try to, like Prabhupada said, in a flower vase, there are different type of flowers. Some are very beautiful looking, some are very good smelling. And that variety is the mother of enjoyment. Imagine if all flowers look the same in this world. Wherever you turn around, every flower is the same only. Will it look nice? And there is a variety of flowers, then you can decorate the Lord with varieties of flowers. Similarly, I invite different speakers to Pune so that our devotees can get a chance to hear from different personalities of different. Because, you know, from different people we learn different things, and they tell the same thing differently also. Very nice. We should learn to appreciate the variety, not condemn the variety. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Thank you very much. I'll come another time to spend time a little more leisurely with all of you. Today I want to rush back to temple and join the class. Hare Krishna. Yeah, quickly.
Hare Krishna. So first of all, we'd like to thank Prabhuji for such a wonderful class of telling us how to keep Krishna in the center and how Vedas are important in so many aspects. So we'd like to thank Prabhuji for coming to AID once, but loudly chanting three times.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!
And also actually, we would like to welcome all the Varangal devotees who are here for AIT Voice first time. But now they chanting
three times.
And actually, as we were not having cooks and many other some issues.
Now you have cook now?
So actually many devotees are extending in many, many aspects.
You got my mail, Ankush Prabhu?
Yeah, yes.
He sent it to you?
So we would like to thank them and appreciate those devotees. And thank you for finding Kim, sir.